This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time for Jared Sandler to join us here on your home of the Rangers. We're going to be talking some baseball with him. Segment's brought to you by Autoflex Leasing and by Sewell Automotive, plus the Frankel's 800 Lawyers. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the office of Frankel & Frankel at 1-800-LAWYERS, official lawyers of the Tolo Principal Office, Dallas, Texas. And here he is. He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter, a must-follow. Pregame tonight, 6:30. And I messed up on the starting pitchers tonight. I was looking at Friday, so tonight it's going to be Pedro Payano making his fourth start for the Texas Rangers. They host the Twins and Michael Pineda, who's 7-5 with a 4-1-5 tonight here on the Fan. Hey, Jared, how you doing?
What's up, guys?
Well, let's keep the pitching conversation going, and your thoughts on Colby Allard's second start last night.
Yeah, I really liked it. We still didn't see a whole lot of curveballs from him, but I thought the cutter was effective. He didn't use the changeup a ton, but when he did, it seemed like it was effective. But I think what stood out the most to me, I guess two things, and they kind of go hand in hand. One, he was in some tough situations, and he was able to wiggle his way out of them. I mean, he only gave up one run while he was on the mound. Emmanuel Clase allowed two inherited runners to score, but I thought that, like that first inning, for instance, he was clearly trying to find things, but he was able to get out unscathed, and he just kind of carries himself with a lot of confidence on the mound. He kind of has a bounce to his presence that is maybe a little more commensurate with someone who's got 5 years in the league as opposed to five starts in the league. And to me, for a 21-year-old in a new situation, we always hear players talk about how when they change teams, they feel like they got to prove themselves. I don't know that there's any of that shyness or lack of confidence in Colby Allard. And I think that's saying that obviously would work to any athlete's advantage, but that's just something that I saw. He attacks guys. He works quickly. It just seems like he pitches with a lot of confidence, which I really like. I'm not sure, Mike, if you saw the same things watching yesterday.
No, I exactly see everything that you're talking about. And I think one of the reasons you're talking like that, Jared, is he's a pitcher, right? I mean, he looks like he knows what he's doing. He reads a swing. And I know that he wasn't shaking off Trevino like every pitch. Trevino's reading the swing too and giving the signs, but if a dude's trying to shoot the ball the other way, like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in the fifth inning, then on 0-2, he's going to throw 94 mile an hour hard in. And, you know, Guerrero's a great hitter at a young age. He almost still got a hit by kind of Derek Jeter-ing the ball out to right field, but he read, and I'm going to give him credit on this, he read that, oh, he's trying to shoot me the other way. I got to bust him back inside if he's just going to try to lean out and drive the ball to right field, which is just nice to see from a guy who just turned 22 years old. And the one run that he gave up when he was on the mound, Jared, Mazzara should have caught that ball. So the triple that the guy scored, he got to third base on that triple, leadoff triple, I believe it was. He shouldn't even have been on base.
Yeah, no doubt. And, and then the two runs, again, that you thought that when Emmanuel Clase came in that Colby Allard was going to leave with a line of one run allowed. And as you just mentioned, maybe that one run shouldn't have even been a run. But, I continue to be excited to watch this guy pitch. You know, it does seem like he's running out of steam maybe a little bit earlier than you'd like. It wasn't like his first start where he wasn't even able to get through five innings. But, it did seem like he was slowing down in that sixth inning. And I don't think it's that he's out of shape, but I just think that it's something that maybe this offseason – he'll work on it, or maybe over the month of September and however many starts he has left in August, he pitches in a way where it's a moot point. But
you know my opinion on that, Jared, since pitching in the major leagues, you can't imagine how much more energy you spend in a major league game than a double-A or triple-A game because of the intensity, because of the focus that you have to have. All of a sudden, you're wondering at the end of the game, you look and you're like, 92 pitches? I don't usually get that tired on 92 pitches. You get back to your hotel room or on the plane, you're like, man, my body didn't feel this tired after 90 something pitches in AAA. It's a little bit more fatigued here at the major league level because you're concentrating and you're focusing so much more because the competition is just that much better. Now, I want to go to Clase because getting to watch him pitch early on in his major league career. I think if you did this, if you took everybody's numbers out of the game of baseball and you lined up every major league relief pitcher right now in Major League Baseball and you had all 30 teams do a draft, you have no clue what they've ever done in the major leagues. You have no clue what they're going to do in the major leagues. He would be taken in probably the top 30 picks. So he would be a first-round pick out of all major league relievers in baseball. That's how good I think his talent is. Now, that being said, as we are praising Allard for his ability to pitch and to figure out how to keep guys off balance, Class A can do it, but he has, to me, Jared, he doesn't know what he's doing yet. He's just doing it based off of stuff. So I watch him throw a bullpen, and I'm like, my gosh, I don't know if I've seen 20 people in Major League Baseball throw better than that. And then you put him in a major league game, and he can get major league hitters out. But it's not based off he's reading a bat or understanding if he is blowing the ball by guys, if his breaking ball is getting the guy off balance. He's just throwing the ball. Whatever the catcher puts, he throws. And if I say, my opinion here, Jared, if I ask Class A, I said, how did you get him out? Why did he swing like that on the third pitch that you struck him out? I don't know if he could answer that question.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't think that's a surprise based on the fact that he was at this time last year in short season, and he's only got like 40 innings over A-ball in his career. And you know, so I think that that's probably to be expected. And I guess, my guess is that, you know, the Rangers, one of the advantages of bringing him up for the final 2 months is to give him some of those experiences, to have him around guys who can talk to him in that way, can teach him in that way. Not that that teaching isn't going on in Double-A where he came from. He didn't spend any time in Triple-A. But, I think that for a guy his age, probably not a surprise, 21 years old, throws 100, 102 miles an hour, that, you know, he's probably more of a thrower than a pitcher right now. The good thing, I think, is that, you know, he's got the ability to command his pitches. I don't know that – you're right. I don't know that he has – a defined plan of attack that is really thought out and vetted and, you know, as advanced as a veteran pitcher. I do like the fact that he does throw strikes. You know, he had 9 walks in 44 innings in Double-A. He's got a couple walks in 6 innings here. But I do like the strike-throwing ability, and I hope you're right. Or I hope that as the season progresses and as he gets into the offseason, you know, you're not working on him throwing harder. You don't need to deal with that. You want him to stay healthy. But I think for him, the mental side and the between the ears side is going to be the next big step.
It's Jared Sandler with us here on The Fan.
Elvis 4-for-5. Is there anything about one game that I can get excited about Baby Shark being back in business?
Oh, you know, he's been hitting the ball a little bit better here of late. You know, it's tough to gauge. That whole road trip, no one was really hitting the ball that well. It's nice to see him drive the ball again. You know, it needs to happen over a longer period of time for me to really believe that 2017 Elvis is back. But, you know, I think you go back to that Detroit series, which I think was the first game this month. So you go back to, through August, and Elvis's numbers are a little bit better. And he's hitting over 300, OPS over 800. So that's a good sign. I'd like to see. That's one of the things that, you know, I wrote about that I'm looking forward to over the rest of the year is what are we going to get from Elvis? So he had that period before the injury this year where he was amazing. I mean, it was everything that you could have wanted out of Elvis. And then after the injury, he was not very good. He was back to being kind of a bottom-of-the-order hitter. And so now he's kind of out of that bubble of, okay, he's recovered from the hamstring injury. It's been more than enough time for him to kind of to be back in like game shape and not trying to just play catch up. What are we going to get out of the final 2 months? Because I think that the Rangers need to obviously decide to what degree they need a middle of the order bat for, you know, this offseason. You know, do they need someone to help Elvis in the middle of the order, or do they need someone to kind of carry the load in the middle of the order? And I would say that 2017 Elvis, if he's your best middle-of-the-order right-handed bat, that's okay. You can live with that. You can live with a guy who's got a mid-800s OPS in the middle of your order as your premier right-handed bat. You could do better for sure, but that's not going to hold you back. But if it's the Elvis that we've seen now the last 2 years, you probably need to be more aggressive to find someone who can protect you in the middle of the order from the right side.
Looking at 2020, I was checking out a list in The Athletic of the top free agents, and I'm sure you and Mike have been looking at these guys for a long time, but It just seems like there is so much quality pitching here from Gerrit Cole and Madison Bumgarner in the top five of the free agents. But then it goes through a lot of names, and I'm sure you could rattle off the Zach Wheelers and the Will Smiths and Cole Hamels and all that. Is this an organization that you believe is ready to go out and make a primetime commitment to one of these bigger guys, or are they still going to be in a building mode? How ready is this team for a move like that?
No, I think they're very ready, but I don't think they're going to just throw money around for the sake of throwing money around. I'd be shocked if the narrative internally was that they didn't believe in Gerrit Cole as someone worth the money. So I think they're going to be very aggressive in pursuit of Gerrit Cole. Let's say they don't get Gerrit Cole, because a lot of teams are going to be interested in Gerrit Cole. I don't think they're going to say, okay, well, we have this money to spend, now let's just go and spend it on the next best guy, even if they don't believe in that guy. So let's just say, like, Zach Wheeler, for example. It was like a big-time prospect for the Mets, just hasn't been able to stay healthy. He shows flashes of being, you know, a stud who's fulfilling his potential, but then it's just not consistent. If the Rangers don't believe in Zach Wheeler, I don't think they're going to just throw money at him for the sake of throwing money. You know, it's not the NBA, thankfully, where you've got to spend that money or degree of the money you have available. So, I think that they're going to go into the offseason with a plan of attack. They like these guys and those guys, and they're willing to spend money on those guys. But beyond that, you know, I don't think they're going to try and trap themselves. Just like in past off seasons, I don't think they're going to trap themselves in these bad contracts because they felt an obligation to spend money. That to me kind of falls in the bucket of what the Brooklyn Nets did when they moved to Brooklyn.
Oh yeah.
They made moves just to satisfy fans because they were moving to Brooklyn. And thankfully for them, Sean Marks and some good fortune has allowed them to climb out of this massive hole, but it took a while and it was incredibly bleak. And I don't think the Rangers are going to spend just because of the new ballpark and then put themselves in a bad spot because they don't truly have conviction in spending that money. But for a guy like Gerrit Cole, yeah, I think the Rangers would be willing to spend over $30 million a year on Gerrit Cole. So will other teams, and so it's going to be, you know, an arms race for him. And I think the same for Anthony Rendon. And maybe they evaluate Zach Wheeler in a way that, yeah, you know, he's worth the money, whatever his market is, or Madison Bumgarner. I'm not sure how they view those guys. But I do know that the Rangers are going to be in the mix for Gerrit Cole, whether or not they land him.
Sands, last question. Who do you think will be better in their career? I know this is going to be tough. Bo Bichette or Vladimir Guerrero Jr. after seeing both of them play for 3 days?
Well, I think Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I think he'll be the better hitter. I have a lot of confidence in that. I was really impressed with Bo Bichette's defense. And I never heard a whole lot about his defense as he was matriculating through their system. And Vladimir Guerrero Jr. isn't really good at third, and I don't know if he's going to stay at third or move to first, or, you know, I don't know what the plan is defensively for him. I think Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has a chance to be an incredibly impactful hitter, and that will make up for maybe not being as complete of a player. But if you really, really, really value defense, then maybe Bo Bichette's your guy. I feel, and I don't mean this as a knock to Kevin Biggio, but he kind of gets grouped in with those three because he's also the son of a really good major leaguer. And Kevin Biggio could be a good player, but he's not on the same level as those three. Bo Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. are on a different level than Kevin Biggio. But either way, that's a fun young core for the Blue Jays to kind of have and build around for the next few years.
You doing play-by-play tonight?
Yeah, I think for the next week. So it'll be Hixie and me for this series and next series. We'll get Josh Hamilton on Saturday. That should be a lot of fun. And hey, remember, you can get into the ballpark $32, two tickets, TexasRangers.com/Hamilton to see Josh Hamilton get inducted in the Rangers Hall of Fame.
We have things you can gamble on. Thanks, Jared. Appreciate the time. As always, we'll catch up with you tomorrow. Go Rangers.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.